Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing? What is up? Again, take two, action. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going? What happened there?
Not much, man. Yeah, you missed that since you was I accidentally forgot to sync you up. So,
okay. No problem.
I had the Three's Company theme song playing.
Oh.
To lead off the show. Because today's episode is called Three's Company or a Crowd for James Harden and the Netsketeers.
Oh, and the Netsketeers.
You know, the Three Musketeers, but the Nets. So basically, of course, I'm the lead off with the Nets talks with the big trade going down a few days ago. We'll also talk about, you know, the NFL playoff going on today and tomorrow. We'll also talk about the Knicks, how they're doing. Also the Mets rumors with Brad Hand and George Springer and Bauer and all those stuff. And of course, you know, the Yankees making some noise, re-signing DJ LeMahieu and, Corey Kluber. And, the Jets getting a new head coach in Robert Saleh.
Yes. Yep.
But, we'll talk about all of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. And the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. All right. So with that said, as you all know, this is a sport. We talk sports, entertainment, everything else. And the biggest news coming out of the sports world is, of course, the earth-shattering move that the Nets pulled off a few days ago. And that is, of course, the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, they basically traded away the whole team, basically. I mean, other than, you know, Durant and Irving. You know, they got rid of Caris LeVert, who's injured right now. Who else did they get rid of? I'm trying to think.
That's the center. I forget his name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jared Allen.
Gear down. There you go.
And then like four picks.
Yes, that's a lot.
Like, like I was saying about the Lindor trade. You gotta give something to get something.
Mhm.
Oh yeah. Wow. I mean, the Nets really went for it.
Well, trying to win now. Yeah, and they better win now.
I mean, this literally goes against everything Sean Marks was talking about, like building the team and, you know, like just developing, you know, within and all that stuff. But yeah, he really, you know, he really went for it. I mean, this move could quite possibly be the biggest move in Nets history, you know, because
I think so.
This could be, I mean, they had a similar move, you know, when they got Alonzo Mourning and you know, Kevin Garnett around that time when they were
Paul Pierce.
The Kevin Garnett trade and Paul Pierce, that I should be saying.
Yeah.
They were really going for it. Because, yeah, that was years after the Alonzo Mourning trade.
But
this the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett move, yeah, that this is what it's very similar to. You know, in that instance, the Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce one, you know, you got guys who won the title in Boston, and, you know, they're trying to replicate that with, with the Nets, but unfortunately, you know, it didn't bring them a title. But this one is even more so, like, they really sold their whole future. They have to, they put themselves in a situation like they have to win. They're a win now team, no doubt about it, because they gave up four picks. They gave up alternate picks, like, from, you know, like, what was it, 2022 and on, or something like that. Like, because you cannot give up picks back to back years. So it's every 2 years they got to give up a pick. And then I think the Rockets have the ability to switch their pick. So if, you know, let's say the Nets was going to get the number one pick and the Rockets was going to get the, you know, for example, the 12th pick, they would have the right to switch it and get the top pick. That, you know, that's the name of the game, man. You know, the Nets went for it. You know, there are some Nets fans who are upset because, you know, they had a good, young, cohesive team. Obviously, they had the superstar players that they added last year, but, you know, Durant was, you know, injured ever since, you know, his last game with the Warriors, and he missed the whole entire year. Durant, he looks like he hasn't missed a beat, even though he didn't play all of last year.
Yeah, he's been playing great.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Kyrie Irving, who did a disappearing act. I mean, he must think he's on WandaVision because he disappeared. Like, I mean, the guy.
By the NBA.
He got fined huge because apparently he went to, like, I think a sister event, you know, birthday party or something like that. And he threw caution to the wind, wasn't wearing a mask. And basically, you know, some people are questioning, you know, how serious he is about, you know, winning a title in Brooklyn, you know. So after he eventually gets out of this suspension, you know, being in quarantine because of his actions, you know, people are questioning whether he's going to come back and if he's fully committed to what they're trying to do in Brooklyn. And then Harden, on the other hand, you know, he was a fan favorite in Houston. But, you know, after they fired D'Antoni, who, you know, became assistant coach for Steve Nash, you know, his former player. And then Maroney, he went to 76ers to become their GM. You know, he saw the writing on the wall that they're going to rebuild. So he didn't want to stick around. And he, you know, apparently was acting out of character from what he was acting beforehand and quickly forced his way out of Houston. Showed up overweight, apparently, and
looking like Mark, you know, Henry.
He went from looking like Big E to looking like Mark Henry in a matter of an off season. So, I mean, you know, we got to see. I mean, but then again, that's an insult on Mark Henry because, I mean, Mark Henry, that's the world's strongest man. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, Harden, man, come on, man. Bruh, come on, man. You're an athlete, man. You got to be ready to play. But he didn't want to, his heart wasn't into it. And, you know, he basically forced the trade to Brooklyn. And, you know, this is a do or die situation because you got the newest big three. You have, you know, Kevin Durant, who won two titles with Warriors. Kyrie Irving, of course, you know, he won the title with LeBron, you know, before LeBron ended up taking his talents to L.A. And then now you have James Harden, who's also, you know, a scoring beast and multiple MVP, you know, recipient. And now he's trying to win his first ever championship. There was even rumors that they were thinking that after, you know, Kyrie Irving did what he did, that they should trade for Westbrook and do the Thunder Big Three in New York, in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But all in all, basically James Harden, he said the right things, you know, when he got when he spoke to the media, I think on Friday. And basically he realized that he has to, you know, scoring isn't the important thing. They have to work together because right now he's in the similar situation as Earl the Pearl Monroe. I mean, this guy, he was a score. This guy scored so much. He was like magical that, you know, they even gave, you know, Monroe the nickname Black Jesus because he was like, so like amazing on the court. You know, he was like the Jordan of his day, you know, scoring all over the place. And what Clyde Frazier used to say, he was like the toughest guy he had to guard. So, you know, Monroe had a huge thing that he had, a huge adjustment that he had to sacrifice his scoring ability to you know, so he could adjust to the Knicks playing at that time, which was defense first and sharing the ball. You know, that's where the whole triangle offense, you know, well, Phil Jackson got that whole triangle offense mentality from, you know, when he was from his Nick playing days. So basically, this is what Harden got to do too. He has to sacrifice his game in order to win, you know, and basically that's essentially what he did tonight because in his debut, he got a triple-double, 32 points, 14 assists and 12 rebounds. So, you know, the Nets was able to beat up on the Orlando Magic by the final score of 122-115. Kevin Durant, he had a big game himself. You know, he had 42 points. So basically, they're off to a good start. And now the Nets improved to 8-6, you know, on the season, you know. So, you know, congrats to the Nets pulling off a big move.
So far, so good. You know, on paper, the Nets look like, you know, they should win the Eastern Conference and play in the NBA Finals on paper with the talent that they have. But, hey, with all those Eagles on that team, you know, things might not turn out. Yeah, to be that way. You know, we'll have to see as the season progresses. But right now on paper, they look like they could be Eastern Conference champions if everything goes right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they definitely got the star power and the scoring ability to make it there. The only thing is that their team, they took a huge hit. You know, roster wise, you know, it didn't hurt them when they faced the Knicks on, what was it, Wednesday, and they just clobbered the Knicks. Kevin Durant single handedly clobbered the Knicks that game, you know. But you know, he's Kevin Durant, so. But I think Dinwiddie is out for the rest of the year, and of course they have DeAndre Jordan, who, you know, obviously he's getting up there. He's not, you know, a defensive presence, you know, anymore, basically. So, they're basically going to rely on the big three and Joe Harris to help them, you know, get to the promised land.
Yeah.
But they got to obviously dominate and overtake the Lakers eventually. So, I mean, we'll all keep our eyes on, you know, what's going on with the Nets, but yeah, this is a huge deal. And
if they win now, move. You know, if they don't win now, then it was all for naught.
This is when you look for a win now move. you're gonna see the Francisco Lindor trade, and you're gonna see this trade right here. So, and you're gonna see James Harden's face in the dictionary. So,
yeah.
For the Nets fans are hoping that this will bring them, you know, their first ever NBA title and, you know, bring them back to their ABA winning days. So,
oh, yeah.
With Dr. J. So we'll see what happens. And speaking of winning, or lack thereof, the Knicks, man, they lost like five in a row. And then, of course, that was highlighted by the Nets game, you know, when the deal went down. And, man, the only player who's playing good lately, I mean, other than Randle, is Quickly. And Quickly, he's quickly showing that he should be the starting point guard for the New York Knicks.
I agree. I don't know why they don't put him in that role of starting point guard. He's clearly better than Peyton, I think.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Yeah, I think he should be starting. But the Knicks, they've reverted back to their old ways again.
Yep.
You know, defense, it just goes, defense is lacking at times.
Mm-hmm.
Offense is stagnant at times. I mean, I don't know why they just go back to doing what they shouldn't be doing.
I know.
You know? They were playing well before this five-game losing
streak. They were.
Now all of a sudden it's like the old Knicks again.
I know. It's the same old Knicks, man. The same old Knicks for the past 20 years. You think about it.
Yeah.
20 years, man. Same Knicks, same old Knicks. With the exception of that, 2013 Knicks team? With Kidd. Like, literally every year has been abysmal. Like, they've been embarrassing. You know, R.J. Barrett, you know, he shows flashes of scoring. You know, obviously Randle, he's practically a triple-double. Kevin Knox, he's starting to step up his game. But they can't put it together. And then that last game they lost on Friday. I'm trying to think who it was against. That Friday night game, they were blown out. And then towards the end, I might be thinking of the Nets game, because they were this close to they almost came back if they didn't vote.
They almost came back in that game.
And then afterwards, Durant had to ask himself to come back. You know, he had to ask for him to come back because he saw the game was slipping away, and then the same thing happened with. Yeah, they lost 109. They lost 116-109 in that game. That was Wednesday. And then the similar thing happened.
They almost, in the Cavalier game yesterday.
Exactly. As I was about to say, too. They lost 106-103. And had they played with some – because they had, like, costly turnovers. Like, R.J. Barrett, he tried to do a crossover. It went off his legs. And then that went to a turnover, which they scored. And it was – had they played good – you know, they could have won that game. They could have easily won that game, but I mean, it's just okay. I think if I'm not mistaken, Quickly had like a career high 23 points.
Yeah.
But you know, it's all for nothing because they can't play defense consistently, you know? Which I mean, we've been doing this show since what? 2009. And it's like the same old Knicks, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't play any defense. They can't guard anybody, especially behind the 3-point line, and they just make these boneheaded moves. It's like the same. And we just thought like this year could have been different. We weren't thinking like a championship team. We weren't thinking of an Eastern Conference team. We're thinking like a team that would be respectful, you know, for the orange and blue that they wear, man, and the city of New York. That they have on the front of their jersey, man. We thought, like, okay, finally we have a gritty New York team, Knicks team that's actually going to play defense and share the ball. And that will lead to wins. That's all we ask for. You know what I mean? We're not asking for you guys to go to the Eastern Conference. We're not asking you guys to win the title. Just play like how New Yorkers expect you to play. Come on. Tired of this. Losing.
Well, you know, it's still early right now.
I know.
Hopefully they could turn it around and play like they were playing when they started the season 5-3. So hopefully they can play better again. But yeah, I mean, they gotta, you know, this has gotta turn around faster, because 5-game losing streak could turn into 10-game losing streak before you
play. Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's why I'm worried. Like, once they got under 500, it's like, man, this is the same old Knicks team.
Yeah.
They got snapped, and Friday looked like they were gonna. Yesterday they looked like they were gonna finally snap that streak, but then they just doing these boneheaded turnover plays, man. So I'm literally speechless, man. But since we're doing an hour show, you know, it wouldn't make good radio for me to just have dead silence. So I'm just gonna move on and talk about changing the culture of your team, and I'm talking about the Jets. Jets, they finally got their guy, man. The guy who's gonna replace Adam Gase, and they got the perfect guy who's the anti Adam Gase in Robert Saleh. You know, he was a defensive coach with the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, he's universally revered and loved, you know, throughout the league, you know, with current players like Richard Sherman and former players like Damian Woody. Like, it's you know, everybody is raving about the Jets, you know, getting the guy that they targeted, because if you remember, the Jets were being criticized because they had the guy fly out to New York, and they had they were speaking to him, and then they let him fly back. And normally, you know, if that was George Steinbrenner, you know, before his foot would have touched the plane, he would have had a signed contract, kind of like SmackDown yesterday with Paul Heyman and Adam Pearce.
Roman Reigns. Oh, Adam.
You know,
Pearce.
Roman Reigns, man.
Yeah.
You know, so people were getting worried, like, oh no, like there's other people after him too. You know, you're gonna just let him walk away like that. But, you know, kudos to the Jets, you know, Joe Douglas, you know, for sealing the deal and getting a guy who's passionate on the field, as, you know, we expect him to be, you know, as the 20th Jets head coach in history. So, you know, congratulations to him. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, congrats to the Jets. You know, he becomes the first Muslim Muslim American coach in Jets history.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, congrats. I think it's a good move, and he'll definitely improve the Jets defense. I actually thought, you know, there were better candidates out there, you know, for the job. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think he's gonna be a great coach, but I think there's some of the guys who were recently fired that the Jets could have, you know, gone after. I thought the Texans coach, what was his name? The Texan coach that just got fired, Bill O'Brien, I think was his name. I thought, you know, he would have been a good candidate. Also, Matt Patricia was at the Lions. I thought he was also a guy that, you know, Jets should have looked into. So, you know, there were some guys out there. Even the guy who, Anthony Lynn, with the Chargers, who got fired, you know, a black African American coach, you know, that's another coach Jets should look into. But, you know, I think it's a good decision by the Jets. So I think he'll be good for them. And, you know, we'll see how they fare when the season begins next year.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, it's a good hire, you know. And the crazy thing is that he has a unique connection to New York as well. His brother survived being in the tower,
wow,
you know, at 9/11. And, you know,
his brother was one of the terrorists or one of the people inside?
No, come on. No, he survived it.
No, but how was his brother was in the, he was working in
yeah.
the building? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what happened. And, you know, because of that, I guess, you know, he had, like, this epiphany of, you know, like, life is short. to follow his dream, because I think he was into Wall Street at that time, you know, Robert Salah. And then afterwards, 3 years after that, like in 2004, he became like an intern in NFL, and then, you know, bounced around other teams and, you know, paved his way, kind of like Tim Nagy, you know, with the new Marlins GM. You know, they both were like in sports for like 20 years or close to 20 years, and then when they finally got the opportunity to be GMs, making history, you know, being GMs in their respective sports. So, you know, congrats to – oh, actually, he's a head coach. My fault. And she's the Marlins GM. So, you know, that's the correlation. They both made history for their respective sports. So, you know, congrats to both of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess we'll, you know, shift gears to the Yankees. You know, Yankees, they re-signed your cousin, DJ LeMahieu.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, they signed Corey Kluber, who obviously is a two-time signing award winner, and he impressed a lot of teams during his workout session recently. So, you know, I know you and your fellow Yankee fans were just dying to see DJ LeMahieu's, you know, name signed on the dotted line on this contract. So what's your thoughts?
Yeah, we've been waiting all offseason here for them to re-sign DJ LeMahieu. I did not want to see him in another uniform other than a Yankee uniform. But Yankees finally went ahead and signed him. $90 million contract deal. I think it's 5 years.
I think it's six, but I could be wrong.
Five or six, yeah, something like that. But yeah, LeMahieu is one of the best pure hitters, if not the best pure hitter in baseball right now. I mean, the guy is, you know, he's a 300 hitter every year, and the guy is clutch, and he's a top five MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. And for the last 2 years, I mean, they had to re-sign this guy. He just makes our lineup go.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of that lineup. So having him back, I'm ecstatic, man. And I feel like, you know, he gives us a great chance at, you know, making it to the World Series or being World Series favorites. And to go along with that, you know, the Kluber deal, I think he has a lot to prove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last couple of years, you know, I've been marred by injuries. But, you know, this guy, you know, was a Cy Young. Cy Young winner, right? I think he won the Cy Young.
Yeah, twice.
So I think he has a lot to prove, show that he still has it, and I think he'll be great again with the Yankees. You know, he could be that number two starter that we need behind Cole. So now that they got him, the question is, will they bring back Tanaka? I hope they do, because I love Tanaka. I would love to see him back in a Yankee uniform. James Paxton, I don't know. James Paxton didn't have a very good year last year. The year before that he had a good year the year before that, but it's still inconsistent at times.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the fence about James Paxton, but as far as Tanaka, definitely have to bring him back, no question. So
yeah, I agree with you. If I was Brian Cashman, I would have definitely have re-signed LeMahieu, gotten Kluber, and then of course re-signing Tanaka, because I mean that guy, he's a big game pitcher. I mean, he probably didn't do that well this past year, but I mean the other team, this whole team, they didn't go far as they wanted to.
Yeah.
But the Tanaka, man, you can't get rid of this guy. I think he should retire as a Yankee. You got to do whatever you can to re-sign this guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's rumors that he might go back to Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, they just got to keep him, you know, re-sign him and make him come back. But, you know, as long as this Yankee team can remain healthy, which they've been unable to do the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
on paper, I mean, they're World Series favorites, you know, as they are every year. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, signing LeMay, re-signing LeMay, he definitely brings them closer to title that they've been craving the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm excited.
Is there any American League team that you're worried about, like the White Sox? They made some moves.
Yeah, White Sox, are looking real good right now.
With
if the Angels get, if Angels get Bauer, Trevor
mm-hmm.
Bauer, they'll be a threat.
Blue Jays are trying to steal the Mets players.
Yeah, Blue Jays. I think the Astros could still be good. So there's still a lot of teams in the American League that are threats right now. Even though the Rays lost some players and pitchers, I think they'll still be good.
Especially Snell.
Yeah.
Getting him to San Diego, which another team people got to keep their eyes on.
Oh, well, San Diego right now, people are, giving them the World Series trophy ready right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely have a good lineup, especially their pitching rotation. So,
yeah, San Diego hasn't looked this great since 1998.
Yeah. So, looking good. But we'll see.
But, yeah, shifting gears to the Mets. Basically early Friday morning, they were saying that, Mets are close to a deal with, the Indians closer, Brad Hand. But those rumors were either false or premature because apparently there are three teams that are interested in Hand, seriously interested in Hand, as we speak. Obviously one of them is the Mets. And let me see. And, the Blue Jays, the aforementioned Blue Jays, and then the Astros. Those are the three teams that are rumored to get them. And then on the Springer side, apparently Springer wants to be, he wants to be closer, as expected, he wanted to play closer to his home in Connecticut. And the two top teams that are rumored to be going after him, seriously, is Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Mets. So people are, putting two and two together. They're like, this goes into the Mets' favor since, New York is more closer to Connecticut than, obviously Toronto and Canada. But, money talks, so I would not penciling him. Because I know there's fans, my fellow Mets fans are penciling him into the lineup already, because they're fantasizing what the lineup would be with him, in that lineup. And yeah, it would be scary. It would be impressive, most impressive. But it's not over till it's over, So until they can agree on a deal, with him and Hand, or Bauer for that matter, until it's official, you just can't, jump to conclusions. So, it happened with the Mets before. There was back in the days, about 20 years ago, there was room to sign Juan Gonzalez, but he took his talents to Texas Rangers, And Manny Ramirez, what was that, 06 or so? There was rumors he was going to get, traded to the Mets. That never happened. So, you just got to, you can't believe every rumor you hear, Do I think Mets, should be the favorites to get Hand and Springer and maybe even Bauer? Yeah, because Mets, for the first time in a long time, they have a win-now team as well, So if they could add two of those pieces, now they're really cooking with something, But it's not official until it's official. So, like the 73 Met team, it ain't over till it's over.
Yeah.
You gotta believe. So, we'll see. Hopefully, Mets will have some good news next week on this show. But until then, we'll just see. We'll just wait and see what happens. But shifting gears. The NFL, Yeah, we're having a, you know, interesting divisional round here. The Bills, they dominated the Ravens by the final score of 17-3. And then on the NFC side, you had the Rams losing to the Packers, final score of 32-18. So and then tomorrow you're gonna have Browns versus Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs defending their home turf against the Browns. You know, who are trying to snap their championship streak since 1964. And then, but they have a huge task against Mahomes, which, I think, you know, unfortunately for the Browns fans, their championship less streak is going to continue because the Chiefs are going to, you know, defeat them.
Yeah. Right. You know, right now, as far as the games today, the Bills, you know, they advanced to their first AFC championship since 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who the post game interviewer was in 94?
Who was it?
O.J. Simpson.
Oh, man.
O.J. Simpson. Yep. Fun fact. So,
man. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's understandable. He was, at that time, he was beloved until.
Yeah.
Obviously, what happened later that year,
yeah,
you know, ironically.
The Bills are looking good. Yeah, they won me $20 because, you know, a lot of people are picking the Ravens to win that game. But, you know, Bills, their offense has looked, they've been balling this year. And if the Chiefs win tomorrow and it's a Bills-Chiefs AFC championship game, that game is going to be on fire.
Off the charts, yeah, for sure.
Most teams could score. You know, they play pretty good defense. I would say they're evenly matched almost, you know, although Chiefs are slightly better. Chiefs that do have more talent. But I think, you know, Bills can give them, will give them a tough test. So that's going to be an interesting matchup if Chiefs win tomorrow, which I think they will. And also tomorrow, I got money on the Saints being the Buccaneers, even though people think Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are going to beat the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints are at home. They play very, very good defense. And Sean Payton always, you know, just comes up with, you know, he's kind of like Bill Belichick of the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
He always comes up with tricky plays for the teams to surprise them.
Yeah.
So I think they got a lot in store for Buccaneers tomorrow. And I think Saints going to pull out that game.
Oh, yeah, man. That's going to be that's a classic right there. That's a classic in the making. You got Breeze versus Brady.
Brady, yeah.
Like, what more do you need to say? I could just drop the mic and end the show like that. Like,
yeah.
That's a marquee matchup right there.
That's really good. But, you know, I got my money on the Saints. And, yeah, but it'll be a good game. Definitely a good game.
Yeah, no doubt about that, for sure. Yeah, on the Ravens game, you know, Josh Allen, you know, he had a good performance. He went 23 out of 37, you know, 2 for 206 yards, only got a touchdown, but it was more than enough to keep the Ravens at bay and eliminate them. And you know, on the Packers side, the Packers game. Aaron Rodgers, he went 23 of 26, threw for 26 yards, had the two touchdowns. And, you know, as a result, Jared Goff got eliminated, even though he completed 21 out of 27, you know, only threw for 174 with the one touchdown. And, you know, now the Rams are, they got to go play golf now. Play golf with the Ravens now. Because today did not end the way they both envisioned.
So some interesting matchups next week.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, You know, the AFC and NFC is gonna should be off the charts.
Oh yeah.
Because you know we got a potential Bills versus Chiefs, and then you got Packers versus, you know, you got Rodgers versus potentially Breeze or Brady, whoever comes out of that game. So, yeah. Yeah, I think the Saints, you know, they're going to, defend their turf. You know, Brady, you know, you can never count Tom Brady out. But maybe with a new uniform, you know, his magic will disappear. So we'll see what happens.
It'll be a good game.
But anyway, it's going to be a classic game for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And, NHL, the Rangers, you know, they had their butt kick, like, I think 4-0 to the Islanders. But tonight, they redeemed themselves. I think they defeated the Islanders 5-0. So, and they had, let me see. But, yeah, all in all, they had, I think Panarin had, like, two goals in that game. Panarin and Pavel Buchnevich, you know, they both scored twice in the 5-0 victory. And Kapo Kako, he also scored as well for the Blue Shirts. And they got their first win of the season, you know, after they lost to their divisional rivals, Islanders, in the season opener. So, you know, props to both. They've dominated. They split the season so far.
So far, so good.
But yeah, shifting gears. Let's talk WWE. Basically, the whole night was WWE teasing that, you know, Roman Reigns would defend his title versus Adam Pearce for the Universal title, and it was just a whole cat and mouse of, you know, Roman Reigns getting Adam Pearce to sign the contract to make the match official. So apparently it was going to be a no disqualification match. And then it turned into a last man standing match. And I'm pretty sure you watched it yesterday, right? Or at least know what happened yesterday.
Yeah. I'd say about 75% of it. I missed the ending.
Oh, you missed the ending. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is what I'm talking about. So basically, Adam Pearce tricked Roman Reigns, act like he had a fake leg injury. And basically, Roman Reigns will be defending his title against Kevin Owens. After Kevin Owens looked like he died in the, you know, from that last matchup they had. Well, I mean, come on, man! Like, they were teasing this match, and then they just pull it out like right from under us.
Come on!
They could have gave it to Nakamura, you know, because Nakamura, you know, he had a strong showing in the gauntlet match until he was, you know, he was basically, you know, screwed out of that match from, Reigns and Jey Uso. So it would have made more sense for Nakamura to, you know, get that number one contender match instead of the shock value of having Kevin Owens, you know, fight him again. What's your thoughts?
Oh well, I didn't see it. But so you're saying that he's faking an injury?
Yeah. Adam Pearce, like at the end of the show, he faked the injury so that he wouldn't sign the contract, and then he said that basically he's not gonna be facing him. He's gonna be Roman Reigns would be facing Kevin Owens for the title again.
Hmm.
So that was the big reveal at the end of the show.
I think there's a way that they're going to still find a way to make him fight Roman Reigns.
Maybe, but not for the title.
Well, that's interesting. I think KO will be he'll be a good opponent.
Well, yeah, of course. Kevin Owens is going to be a great opponent for him. But, you know, they've been battling out, and obviously it's pretty obvious that Roman Reigns is not going to lose the title of Kevin Owens anytime soon, in my opinion. But, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, of course. I don't see Roman Reigns losing the title at all.
Mm-hmm. The earliest you'll see him lose the title would be WrestleMania. And I just don't see anybody taking the title from him. You know, I don't see Rock coming out of retirement to face him right now, especially, you know, because of the COVID situation we're having. I just can't think of who might be facing him. I'm drawing a blank. I can't think of any. I mean, they can't have Kevin Owens fight him the whole way until WrestleMania. But then again, this is WWE. Who knows? But yeah, they need to. You know, they need they need a fresh matchup, in my opinion. I think he needs to feud with somebody else and then have this Kevin Owens fight happen again, in my opinion. Who do you think he should be fighting at WrestleMania or right now, actually? Or, you know, right now. Can you hear me, Mac?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Yeah, no, I was saying that. Who do you think, since you brought that up? Who do you think would be a perfect opponent?
I was thinking maybe Nakamura, since Nakamura or Big E, you know, since they're, you know, Nakamura, he, you know, when he was in that gauntlet match, you can see now he's finally getting a push. You know, he's a baby face again. They changed his music back to his original theme song.
Yeah, so that wouldn't be a bad
matchup. And Nakamura, he won the Royal Rumble 2 years ago. So, you know, if they make him win, you know, the title, you build up another championship caliber wrestler, you know.
Yeah, well, that actually would be a very good matchup when I think about it.
Problem with WWE, man, it's like the titles have been stagnant, you know. I mean, Drew McIntyre, I mean, you know, I get it, but to me, I felt like he should have lost the title to Bobby Lashley. You know, Bobby Lashley could have had that, you know, had the title, and then, you know, Drew McIntyre could have feuded with him before he feuded with Orton, you know. But, like, who's Drew McIntyre feuding again with? I totally forgot. Is it still Orton? I can't even remember.
Was it Ziggler?
Am
I thinking of Ziggler for some reason?
Ziggler and Bobby Roode, they're the tag team champions on SmackDown.
Who was he feuding with? Now I'm forgetting who he was feuding with.
Yeah, I'm forgetting. It's like a blur. Oh, Goldberg. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Goldberg.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right, from the Legends thing. But Drew McIntyre has, like, COVID. So, you know, they're hoping he should be coming back for the Royal Rumble, which is the last day of the month, the 31st.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. There you go, the Goldberg. I'm not feeling this. Like I said last week, I'm not feeling this feud.
Because, you know, it's Goldberg should retire already. Man.
Goldberg should have retired after he lost to Brock Lesnar at that WrestleMania a few years ago.
Yeah.
This feud doesn't mean anything to me. I should be like, wow, Goldberg versus Drew McIntyre. They never face each other. I'm wondering how this matchup goes. I mean, we all know Drew McIntyre is going to win this match. I mean, there's literally no sense to this match.
Yeah.
Goldberg should be feuding with a heel.
I guess they want a strong opponent for Drew.
Yeah.
Like Goldberg is that strong opponent that'll put him over.
But he got put over by Brock Lesnar in 5 minutes. And then he beat Big Show like in a dark match at WrestleMania for the first time in history. And then he defended the title most times against Orton and I lost count. Bobby Lashley. Like other than him losing the title to Orton, he's defeated practically all of his opposition.
Yeah, they need to. I want to see a rematch, Roman Reigns and Drew, but this time title for title.
Well, yeah, they are gonna feud each other eventually because Triple H revealed months ago that they want to make Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre into a Austin versus Rock rivalry.
Yeah.
Which I mean, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. The problem is that they should have just let it organically happen and not tell us in advance. Because if you tell us in advance, we're going to try to make this rivalry into a rivalry. And at this time, they didn't even face each other at Survivor Series at this time. This was before the feud happened in November. So had they just let it happen and then people, the fans were watching like, wow, these guys really have chemistry. Man, they really have a strong rivalry. Then they could have said that. But for them to just say, we're going to make this into a rivalry before the match even happened, it's like they're shoving the rivalry down our throats without even developing. It doesn't seem as organic. But, I mean, they had a good match with each other. And, they will face each other again, of course. So.
Yeah, probably WrestleMania even. Who knows?
I don't think they're going to unify the title, though. Maybe, you know what could happen? Maybe one of them loses the title. Which I would have, who would it be though?
You don't have to unify the title. Yeah, it's like if it's title for title, one will win the title and then, they decide to vacate one of them, I guess.
But yeah, but that would be a unification match because it would be title for title and whoever wins would have the title and then the person would vacate the other, would just take away the other title. The other title
that wouldn't be unifying if they vacated.
But that's what you said.
No, I'm saying that it'd be title for title, but after that, the person has the option of vacating the title that they won. So let's say if, because Roman Reigns' title is more superior than Drew McIntyre's title, obviously, because he's the Universal Champion, right?
Well, yeah, but the WWE title is the more historically the more significant title. But yes, the title that's more interesting right now is the Universal. For the first time ever, or maybe since maybe Brock Lesnar having the title, winning the Universal title the first couple of times, it had significance. But yeah, but this is like for the probably the first time in a long time, if ever, like the Roman Reigns is really putting prestige on that title.
Yeah, so let's say Drew McIntyre beats Roman, he wins the Universal. Obviously, he's going to keep the Universal over the WWE title, and then they could have like a tournament or something for the WWE. Yeah, but that's how I see how that could go down if that does happen.
But doesn't that kind of show you how down the WWE title has been? If the WWE title isn't even the number one title in its own company?
Well, hey, times have changed, man.
It's watered down. The WWE title is watered down. The Universal title is more important than the WWE title, the title that has all that lineage for, 60 years or so.
Yeah.
Even though, obviously, they've changed the title, the look of the title over the years. But, the Universal title is the more important title right now.
Yeah.
Because Drew McIntyre, he's being built up like he's undefeatable. He can't be defeated. If he could beat Brock Lesnar in 5 minutes, I mean, there's nobody who could legitimately defeat him. That's why they had to make Orton, a guy who's now a 14-time champion, beat him. Nobody else on the roster is a real serious threat to him.
Other than
Roman Reigns. What you said?
Other than Roman Reigns on the...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He don't have no legit threats unless they have to pull out people from the Attitude, Ruthless Aggression, or the Cena era. you know, of guys who've been there. WWE, they haven't done a good, I mean, you know what I'm saying? They haven't really done a good job, you know, organically. Drew McIntyre was a great job they did. You know, he paved his dues. You know, he was kicked out of the company. You know, he went back to NXT, changed his look. You know, he worked his way up, won the title. That was great. But other than that, like, there's no other, like, legitimate, like, first-time ever winner title. Like, even Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman wasn't even supposed to win the title at WrestleMania, you know, against Goldberg. But, you know, they gave him the opportunity, and then they took it away from him, you know. And, I mean, what happened? You haven't seen him ever since.
Can you hear me? The audio keeps going in and out.
Yeah, I don't know what's up.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you perfectly now.
Okay.
But, I'm just, my point is like WWE haven't developed any credible, you know, guys who have never won the title as legit threats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
That's why, to me, they should have made Lashley win the title during that feud. At some point during that feud. But, you know, it's basically the same guys, you know, who won the title before who's competing in these type of matches.
Now you have, what's his face, as Roman Reigns' bodyguard now? Or security guard?
Oh, Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews, yeah.
Yeah, that's like his now they're boys now all of a sudden.
Yeah. I could see him be Apollo turning on him. Or Roman Reigns turning on Apollo.
Mhm. Yeah, that would be a good rivalry, but I don't think WWE sees them like that anymore. It's like kind of like Titus O'Neil. You know, they're both, you know, big, you know, black dudes who have that potential. They have the look that WWE would be looking for, but for whatever reason, like Big E, they don't pull the trigger on them. You know, to put the title on them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Look at MVP. MVP, he's literally been the MVP of Monday Night Raw. I mean, you know, other than Drew McIntyre, you know, this guy, he's resurrected the careers of everybody in the Hurt Business. Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, and Cedric Alexander. But, you know, they don't really get any title opportunities, for real. I mean, like, championship. I mean, obviously, they are the tag team champions? And the Intercontinental Champion with Lashley, kind of like the Nation of Domination. They're not giving them, they're not putting the title on them, the heavyweight title on them.
Right.
But you know, I saw a video maybe yesterday. I didn't watch the whole thing yet, but they posed an interesting idea. What about if Keith Lee turned heel and joined the Hurt Business?
Oh yeah, that'd be interesting.
That would have been a great idea.
Yeah.
Because it would have been perfect because Keith Lee, they're making Keith Lee, you know, out to be one of his Drew McIntyre's closest friends along with Sheamus. But if Keith Lee turns on him and joins the Hurt Business and wins the title, that would be buzzworthy. Keith Lee would have a rivalry that, you know, lived up to the hype. I mean, obviously, you know, he fought against Orton a few times. Sheamus and him they're like teasing a rivalry between the two of them. Even though it looked like they made up. But, yeah, if he turns heel and join Hurt Business, that would be
earth-shattering. Yeah.
I really hope that happens. Because right now, Drew McIntyre doesn't have anybody for WrestleMania. You know? So, we'll see what happens after Royal Rumble. Let's see what else happened. I'm trying to think what happened in AEW and NXT. Miro, he defeated Chuck Taylor, so now Chuck Taylor is going to be like his butler for like, I don't know, for at least a month or so. Even though Miro and I forgot the Kip Sabian, you know, they injured one of Taylor's best friends in a match where he's going to be gone for like several months. So now Chuck Taylor is going to be his butler for, you know, for the time being. Trying to think what else happened. I think Kenny Omega, he's going to be teaming up with the Good Brothers. You remember Gallows and Anderson?
Yeah.
They're in Impact, but they tag teamed with Kenny Omega, you know, former Bullet Club members. You know, they tag teamed on AEW, and they won the match. I can't remember who they faced for whatever reason. It might have been Brian Pillman Jr. and I forgot who the other person was. But what else happened? I'm trying to think.
I'm always missing AEW and NXT.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else happened on AEW. I know the Inner Circle, Jericho, they're going to fight against each other. They're going to have a tag. They're going to determine who's going to be the official tag team from them. Because Santana Ortiz are usually the definitive tag team of that group. But now Jericho, instead of tag teaming with Jake Hager, formerly known as Jack Swagger, now he's going to team up with MJF, and now Sammy Guevara is going to team up with Hager, and their tag team is going to be called Sammy and Hager, which made Jericho laugh because they're basically, you know, referencing the Van Halen, former Van Halen frontman, Sammy Hager. So he was laughing, and but MJF didn't get it. No, it wasn't MJF. I think it was Sammy and Hager who didn't get the joke. So he was like, never mind. So yeah, but I'm trying to think what else happened in AEW. I can't even remember. But yeah, NXT. Wow, my memory is like. I'm trying to think what happened on NXT on Wednesday night. Yeah, I can't even think of anything. I think they had a rematch. I think it was Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly from the Undisputed Era, and Finn Balor successfully defended his title against Kyle O'Reilly again. But they had the Dusty Classic, you know, the tag teams battling it out to determine who's gonna win the Dusty Classic trophy. They didn't determine who it was. The winner, they're going to continue the, Candice LeRae, she defeated Shotzi Blackheart. Their feud is still going on. I'm trying to think.
You watch both at the same, cause they get NXT and AEW at the same time. You flick back and forth or you watch both at the same time?
No, I record it. And then I watch it, you know, sometime during the week, Thursday or Friday, you know, whenever I get a chance to. Johnny Gargano, he successfully defended the NXT North American title against Dexter Lumis, who was, guest hosting the New Year's Evil, pseudo pay-per-view event that they had on the show for the past couple of weeks. MSK, they were formerly known as the Radicals. They debuted on NXT as MSK. They defeated Jake Atlas and Isaiah Swerve Scott. in the first round of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Xia Li, she defeated Valentina Feroz. And yeah, she's been unstoppable ever since she changed her gimmick. Her gimmick was like Chun-Li, because you know she's from China, and then they changed her into like this dark character. So she's been undefeated these past couple of weeks.
Oh.
And then Undisputed Era, they defeated Breezango to advance in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. And yeah, that's basically it, because wait, hold on one second. What was I gonna say? What's his name? Pat McAfee's group. They attacked Kyle O'Reilly after the match, and yeah, should be a interesting the NXT what's gonna happen to NXT and AEW. So and even WWE. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, just enjoy the rest of the weekend, people. Enjoy the sports. Happy Martin Luther King Day on Monday. Martin Luther King Day is on Monday, right?
Yeah, it is this Monday.
Monday, okay. Yeah. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Happy Inauguration Day this upcoming weekend. Yeah, just stay safe out there.
Yeah, you heard the man. I hope you all have a wonderful, Martin Luther King Day, and reflect on, the way Martin Luther King, stand for, trying to, when the country was going through civil unrest, he was a beacon of hope with his message, of equality among all men and women, regardless of your background. And, hopefully people will reflect on that, on his special day. And hopefully everybody stays safe and enjoy the, Inauguration Day coming up on, this week. So, hope you all stay safe and come back next week, Saturday at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. And, this is Sports Urban Legend. Also, check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. We'll see you guys next week. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.